Here's a story from The World.
North Korea is at it again. Pyongyang fired two ballistic missiles today into the Sea of Japan, the nation's first major provocation of the Biden White House. The missile test is a clear violation of UN sanctions. So how might this American president deal with the situation? We're joined now by Sung Yoon Lee. He follows Korea closely from his perch at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. If you were the National Security Advisor today, Sung Yoon Lee, and you got called into the White House, what would your message be for President Biden?
Well, my team would have fully expected this sort of re-emergence of North Korea's provocations. At the same time, even if we have a plan, to quote Mike Tyson, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. How would we implement the plan? All depends on the degree of North Korea's further provocations to come.
So you said this missile test was fully expected. Why?
Kim Jong-un basically told the world that he would restart his cycle of provocations, after which there comes a post-provocation peace ploy. So the real question is, does the Biden administration have the fortitude not to settle for talks for the sake of talks, during which the Kim regime buys more time and more money in the form of lax or non-sanctions enforcement to further build the bomb?
So North Korea is struggling with hunger right now. Would sanctions be the wisest thing to attack the North Korean leadership over and further injure their people?
Well, there is always negative trickle-down effect, but sanctions have become much more targeted on the regime instead of the people. I'm not denying that there is a deleterious effect of sectoral sanctions banning North Korea's exports of textiles, for example, but there are waivers for humanitarian aid delivery. So sanctions enforcement is the one non-lethal and internationally legitimate tool of painting Pyongyang into a corner in the U.S. toolbox.
China is North Korea's only major trading partner, and so it has more sway over Pyongyang than other capitals. But with relations between Washington and Beijing unraveling, have we lost the one power that can influence North Korea?
Well, China has very different national interests. We know that North Korea is dependent on China for aid, food, and fuel. So China does not fear a small aid-dependent North Korea with a small nuclear arsenal. China is surrounded by bigger powers with bigger nuclear arsenals. So China sees North Korea as a useful card to play vis-a-vis the United States. So it will take a lot to get China on board.
So if we zoom out and consider U.S. policy toward North Korea moving forward under Biden, what is the overall U.S. goal here? Is it denuclearization? And what does denuclearization mean to the North Korean leadership?
Well, the North Korean leadership tells us very clearly that by denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, we mean the removal of all U.S. military assets, not only from the peninsula, i.e. South Korea, but from the region, that is Japan.
Would you be surprised if that happens under Biden's watch?
I think over the course of the next 4 years, to expect that is a bit far-fetched. There will be an enormous temptation on the part of the Biden administration to return to negotiations. So if Kim Jong-un says, hey, why don't I send my sister to the White House? And then we plan for a summit meeting. Right now, Biden will not be interested, but after a period of chaos, it will be exceedingly difficult for the White House to say, no, thank you, go away.
Sung Yoon Lee is with the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University, speaking with us about North Korean ballistic missile tests in the Sea of Japan. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.